Good morning. How we doing? Good to see you today. We are beginning a brand new series entitled The Journey from Doubt to Faith from the book of Habakkuk. Now, I realize you can say Habakkuk a few different ways, but I'm going with Habakkuk. Okay, that's the way we're rolling through this series. Had a chance this past week to kind of do some research and reading, and I came across a story of a youth pastor in Colorado who just had learned that his wife and baby daughter were dying of AIDS. His wife had received a contaminated blood transfusion just before their delivery date. And that's the news that they received. And as he was processing that, as he was thinking about this, these are some of the thoughts that crossed his mind as a youth pastor. He thought, how in the world can I talk to my youth group about a loving God? How can I tell them that God cares? That's what we're going to be talking about this morning. That's what we're going to be thinking through. Not sure how much you know about the book of Habakkuk. It's a little book in your Bible, only three chapters long. It's not easy to find. It's the fifth book back from the end of the Old Testament. We don't know much about the prophet Habakkuk from any other books in the Bible, and since he prophesied the coming of the Babylonian army and the destruction of Judah, he prophesied sometime before that invasion. So many people think that Habakkuk ministered sometime during the reign of King Jehoiakim, perhaps around the year 607 BC. His name Habakkuk is derived from the Hebrew verb embrace. His name probably means he who embraces or he who clings. It's an appropriate name for both the prophet and the book because Habakkuk comes to firm faith through wrestling through these tough, difficult questions. Habakkuk was a prophet who was struggling with the questions about evil in the world. And why does God permit that? Habakkuk's three big questions were, does God care? Is God fair? And is God there? And I think those are still questions that people are pondering and they're asking today. So that's the question. Does God care? Go ahead and take your Bibles out. Turn to Habakkuk chapter 1. We're going to look at the first 11 verses. It's the first of these three questions. And that question, does God care, has haunted a huge number of people over the years as they've struggled with the problem of evil in the world. Like I get this question a lot from people. A question goes something like this. If God is so powerful, then how does he allow evil and suffering in the world? Is God even worried about us? Does he notice all the bad things that take place on the planet in which we live? Basically, what they're saying to me is, does God care? If you've ever wondered about these types of questions, I can tell you that you're not alone. Habakkuk struggled with these same questions and doubts. And guess what? He was a prophet. Habakkuk 1:1 says this, the oracle that Habakkuk the prophet saw. Habakkuk is one of only three prophets in the Old Testament who specifically identify themselves as prophets at the beginning of their books. The other two are Haggai and Zechariah. Habakkuk identifies himself as a prophet. He identifies the book that follows as the oracle he saw. And an oracle is just another word for prophecy. Habakkuk is saying from the very first verse that the message in this book is not a message that he came up with, but rather it's a message from the Lord. And apparently there are several Hebrew words that can be translated oracle or prophecy, but this particular word also conveys the idea of a burden. And it's used especially to describe prophecies that carry a warning or rebuke upon a people, because it was a burden for the prophet, as you can probably imagine. It's never easy to be the bearer of bad news. And Habakkuk tells us that he saw this oracle. And so it is possible that Habakkuk received this message as a vision. And the point that I'm driving at right now, though, is not so much that, but it's more that God is the source of this message. Okay? Peter says the same thing about the Old Testament prophecy in the New Testament when he writes in the book of 2 Peter, verses 19 and 20. And I'm going to read verse 21 as well. It says, just listen to this. And we have the prophetic word more fully confirmed, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. Verse 21, for no prophecy is ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And so Habakkuk begins presenting this message as a prophecy that comes straight from God. So today we're going to look in depth at this passage, which contains, I think, two parts. Part one is verses 2-4, where Habakkuk brings his complaint before the Lord. And then in verses 5-11, God graciously answers Habakkuk's complaint. And again, if we were just to sum up Habakkuk's complaint in these verses, it all comes down to this single question: does God care? So let's get started with Habakkuk's complaint. Why do sometimes we think that God does not care? Well, one reason is we pray and we do not see God's answer right away. All right, so look at the beginning of verse 2 with me as Habakkuk cries out to God, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not hear? Apparently, Habakkuk has been praying to God for quite some time, and he didn't see the answer coming. And so he begins to wonder if God was even listening. Has that ever happened to you? Well, like, have you prayed for someone or something for a long time, and you get to the place where you're even like, God, are you even there? I know here at NCF, we prayed for people to come to Christ for years. And I mean years. But before God answered that prayer. Do you ever wonder if God is listening to you when you pray? I mean, have you prayed for something? I mean, really prayed, and then when the answer didn't come, you question whether God heard you at all. And when that happens, it's when we begin to have the thoughts, like, God, do you even care about me? The second reason is when we're in trouble and God does not deliver us right away. Look at me in the second half of verse 2. Habakkuk continues, and he says this, or cry to you violence, and you will not save, he says. This word translated violence carries the idea of cruelty or injustice. And it's not used in kind in a violent sport kind of way. You know, it's not the kind of violence like here's where my mind goes. Like Nick Emanuori of the Seattle Seahawks coming to the line of scrimmage and just demolishing the running back as he tries to go. It's not that kind of violence. Go Hawks, by the way. Just thought I'd throw that in. Right, it is the violence of a sinful context where when one person wrongly does violence to another person. One of the most difficult things to deal with in life is when somebody harms you intentionally and unjustly. Have you been seeing the videos lately about kids who are under the age of 18 purposely trying to harm others because they think that because they're minors they won't be like punished very, very severely? Like they're not going to prison. That's what they think. They think they're just going to get a slap on the wrist. In one of these cases, one of the teens dropped a huge rock standing on an overpass, hit a car that was going and killed the man that was driving that car. And this guy had a family, and they were like laughing in court because they thought nothing was going to happen to him. Like, I don't know if that's true or not true, but the application is definitely there. It is such an affront to our dignity when something like that happens. And this was what Habakkuk was going through. And so he cries out, "How long, O Lord, how long?" And you can hear the desperation and the pain in his cry. Have you ever prayed that prayer like, "Lord, how long? How long until I finally find a job? How long until I get better? How long until my marriage improves? How long until my loved ones come to Christ? How long until the burden is lifted from me? How long until I get better?" I can go on and on. Sometimes it's in these situations when we're in trouble and God does not deliver us when we think He should. And we're like, "God, do you even care about me?" Another reason we think this sometimes is when we see the wicked triumphing over the righteous. In the next two verses, Habakkuk changes the questions. He goes from asking God, "How long?" to asking God why. Look at verses 3 and 4. "Why do you make me see iniquity? And why do you idly look at wrong? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law is paralyzed and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous, so justice goes forth perverted." This was and is an excellent question, right? Like, why does God allow us to see iniquity and trouble and sin in ourselves and in others, for that matter? Well, let's start off with why God allows us to see iniquity or the sinfulness in ourselves. And maybe it's to keep us humble. Or maybe it's so we would run to God in our hour of need. Or it could be so we would understand the value of our salvation all the more. But then I think, why would God allow us to see the wickedness in other people? And maybe it's so we could see how terrible sin is, and it would cause us just to hate sin and not to indulge in it ourselves. Or maybe it was so we could understand the grace of God. When He saves us from our sin. Habakkuk is writing at a time when the people of Judah had almost completely abandoned their loyalty to God and His laws. Habakkuk is surrounded by violence and destruction and conflict. He couldn't even look to the leaders of his nation for help because they were corrupt as well. And the law was virtually paralyzed, and justice hardly, if ever, prevailed. The wicked at this time outnumbered the righteous And they would surround the righteous, hemming them in, cutting them off, twisting and distorting things until justice was no longer even recognizable. And so Habakkuk cries out, Lord, why? Why do you make me look at this injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Lord, don't you care? Do you ever ask the why questions? Do you ever wonder why God allows evil in the world? Do you ever wonder why people have no concern for God and His laws and they seem to thrive and they seem to just get ahead in this life? Meanwhile, you're serving God, you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, and you're feeling like, man, I'm just falling farther and farther and farther behind. So you begin to wonder, like, is it worth it? Does God really care? See, these are the questions that Habakkuk was struggling with at the beginning of this journey from doubt to faith. So how do we know that God does care? What about when we pray and we don't see Him answer when we want Him to answer us? Or what about when trials come and God doesn't deliver us right when we need Him to? What about when the wicked triumph over the righteous? It is in those situations. It could look like God doesn't care, but of course, looks are what? They're deceiving, aren't they? In verses 5 through 11, God responds to Habakkuk's complaint. He answers his questions. And God shows us that, yes, He is concerned. And yes, He does care. So how does God do this? Well, first of all, God assures us that He hears our prayers. Remember how Habakkuk was wondering if God heard his prayers for justice, but was God listening, right? Look at verse 5 where God tells Habakkuk, look, among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told. Not only had God been listening, but He's moving entire nations around to answer Habakkuk's prayer. God's like, you're going to be amazed with the work that I'm doing. And isn't that just like God? When we're so caught up and shouting, how long, God? And thinking God's not listening. He's already in the process of answering in some pretty stunning kind of ways. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. 1 John 1:5 says, and this is the confidence that we have towards Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. So here's the question. Does God answer every prayer? Well, there are a few conditions that God lays out for us in His Word. First, we must ask according to His will. We just read that. Secondly, James 4:3 says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. And so the second thing we need to do is when we go to God in prayer is to ask with an unselfish heart. God also says we must come to Him with a pure heart. Psalm 66:18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. So when we come to the Lord with a pure heart, and we come with the right motives, along with asking according to His will, God promises to hear and answer our prayers. God assures us that He hears our prayers, that He cares. And then another way we know that God cares is because God promises us that He'll deliver us in His time. Right? This is the answer to the how long question. God has His purposes, and we need to learn to trust His timing. Verse 6, for behold, I am raising up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, who will march through the breadth of the earth to seize dwellings not their own. Okay, so the Chaldeans and Babylonians, same group. And this is huge, right? While Habakkuk was asking God, how long will he have to wait? God is already orchestrating, right, the events of history so that the Babylonians would come into the world dominance and bring an end to the violence and the injustice in Judah. So Habakkuk had to wait, but in God's timing, he assured him that once the Babylonians came, then deliverance would be swift and it would be definite. God's timing is the key. Psalms 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Psalm 91:15, when he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble and I will rescue him and honor him. 1 Peter 5:10, after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. God's promise to us is that he will deliver us in his time. And then there's a third way that we know that God cares, is because God affirms he will judge all evil in the world. This is the answer to the why question. Lord, why do you tolerate wrong? God's answer is basically this: I don't tolerate wrong. In fact, I will judge all the wrongs in the entire world. The nation of Judah was full of violence and injustice. Judah had turned away from God and his law, and now God would judge Judah for her sins, and God's raising up the Babylonians just to do that. Verses 6 through 11, God describes what's coming in this Babylonian invasion and what that's going to be like. Verse 6, he calls them a bitter and hasty. It speaks to the bitterness of the judgment to come. He says that they'll march through the earth and seize dwelling places not their own. The word dwelling there is the same word for tabernacle. And the tabernacle was God's dwelling place among the Israelites in the desert, remember? Not only will the Babylonians take away the people of Judah's homes, but they will also destroy the temple, God's permanent dwelling place in Jerusalem, which had replaced the tabernacle. Verse 7 says that they're dreaded and fearsome, and their judgment and dignity go forth from themselves. The Babylonians have no respect for law or justice. They have no concern for anyone. You can't reason with them. You can't negotiate with them. Their only concern is their own honor. And because of that, they're feared and dreaded. Verse 8, their horses are swifter than leopards, more fierce than the evening wolves. Their horsemen press proudly on, and their horsemen come from afar. They fly like an eagle, swift to devour. Like, these guys are speedy, and they're ready for the hunt. That they're like an eagle swooping down to devour their prey. Ever go out to Higgins Point there in Coeur d'Alene? You watch the eagles, and if you're out there for a while, at one point an eagle's going to come, and he's going to see a fish in that lake, and that dude's going to like just make a beeline for that fish, right? That's what we have going on here. Verses 9 and 10, it says, they all come for violence. All their faces forward, they gather captives like sand, and at kings they scoff, and at rulers they laugh, and they laugh at every fortress, for they pile up earth and they take it. What a great description and picture of the Babylonians just as an unstoppable force. Right? They're violent, and they gather, and then they laugh at anyone that's in their way. Verse 11, then they sweep by like the wind and go on, guilty men whose own might is their God. That's why Habakkuk asks God, why do you tolerate this? And God tells Habakkuk, I don't and I won't, and the people of Judah will be judged for their sin. And when we see injustice in the world, when we see the wicked having victory over the righteous, it is in those times that sometimes we think, God, do you really care about us? And God affirms that he will judge all evil in the world. Ecclesiastes 3:17 says this, God will judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time for every matter and for every work. And you might wonder why God waited so long to judge the people of Judah. We know from other books in the Old Testament that God did not judge them right away because he was giving them time to repent from their sin. And the whole reason why he sent prophets like Jeremiah and Habakkuk was to warn them of the coming judgment in hopes that they would turn from their sin. And you have to think that if Judah would have listened to Habakkuk and repented of their sin, that God would have shown them mercy. But they didn't listen. Judgment came. And when it came swiftly, and it came severely, and it came completely. I think the same situation exists today. God, in his mercy, is giving people today time to turn from their sin and come to Christ for salvation. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. If you repent of your sins and you come to Christ, you will be saved. But if you don't, God's time of judgment will come. Paul put it this way in Romans 2:4 and 5, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance? But because of your hard and impotent heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. Make no mistake about it. God does care about sin and evil, and he will judge all the evil in the world. And Habakkuk just struggled with unanswered prayers and trials and the troubles that he had in life, along with this problem of evil, and that caused him to doubt. He began to question, does God care? And God answers him with an overwhelmingly yes. And you know what? Maybe you're here today. And maybe you've been struggling with some doubts, just like Habakkuk. Maybe you're here today and maybe you're wondering, what am I supposed to do with all the questions that I have? I think Habakkuk is a great example for us in this regard. Too often when we're struggling with doubts in life, we walk away from God. But Habakkuk did the opposite. He came to God with all of his questions. And guess what? God answered him. Might not have been the answer he was looking for, but God answered him. In fact, God's answer actually prompted a whole new set of questions that we'll look at in the weeks ahead. But the important thing is that he kept coming back to God. And I believe that's the key. When we have questions, bring them to God. Come to Jesus in faith, because God listens, God notices, and God cares. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for your word today. God, I think there might be people here this morning where everything in their life just feels all jumbled up, and they desperately need your comfort and your peace, God. And so we know that you care about them, but their minds are filled with doubts and fears. And so, God, my prayer this morning is that you would help them to set their heart and their mind on you and you alone. God, we would ask that you would pour out your grace and your mercy, and that you would guide their steps today. So, Father, we want to tell you this morning that we trust you with our burdens, and we trust you with our hurts, and we trust you with our future. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.